Couple of my friends that have been here, Jerry Kalin and John Presbus, they're sort of amateur astronomers, and I've sort of reported out on that. Jerry was up in the Upper Peninsula on Manistee and called to say that he was looking at, I don't know, five different planets or something like that. And I just find all that fascinating, like the little fun facts, like if you decided to drive on the interstate to Jupiter and you were driving 700 or 70 miles an hour, it'd take you 600 years to get to Jupiter. So you decide to trade it in for something like the Apollo 13 spaceship that traveled at 28,000 miles an hour, something like that. It'd take you 2.5 years to get to Jupiter. Back in the, I don't know what it was, 14, 15, 1600, somewhere in there, Galileo invented a telescope. And he was looking at Jupiter. And he saw Jupiter has, I don't know, 12 moons or something. But he kept on seeing these little specks go around Jupiter. So he proposed that just maybe the Earth might not be flat. Maybe the Earth is round. Got him in trouble with the church, of course, because pretty much the Earth was flat and the entire universe revolved around us. How many times have we felt that or met people who thought the universe revolved around them? So the church got on Galileo. You know what he did? I love it. He wrote a book and told people how to build a telescope. Copernicus figured out the math. Now we got guys like Albert Einstein and all these, I mean, from him on, I mean, they're figuring out this stuff, like the speed of light. What is energy? Mass times the speed of light squared equals mc squared. I don't know what that means. These guys did. They knew what it meant. You got more technology in your cell phone than the Mercury astronauts did when they went up and went around the Earth. I like shot them off a rocket in a tin can. I don't understand any of it, but I can experience it. I can go outside and look at the sky at night. I don't know, probably many of you here, except maybe Kelsey and Zoe, remember about 20 years ago when a squirrel gnawed through a line at some power station in Canada and the whole eastern seaboard, the lights went out? Detroit was blank, Cleveland was blank, Toledo was blank. And you go outside and you stand there and you go, holy, look at that. I remember standing out there on Lake Erie, and it was sometime in the summer back in 2002 or 2003. It just exploded with stars. What keeps us often from really looking up at the sky or asking these questions or being curious about any of it, is there so much light pollution? You can't see. I can't understand it, but I can experience it. I've seen the rings of Saturn and I've seen the moons of Jupiter. I saw the moon and Mars rise simultaneously out of Lake Michigan. I saw two total eclipses of the sun. I don't understand any of it. But I experienced it, and it made a difference in my life. Our Western theology and philosophy arguably can be tracked probably to four people. Plato and Aristotle, the Greek philosophers. And then in the church, St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas. These guys were great thinkers. I mean, in terms of theology and philosophy, they're like Einstein is to physics. Okay? And these guys are really, I mean, they wrote volumes and they thought about stuff. And they got it all together. I don't understand any of it. I mean, it's sort of beyond me, right? St. Thomas Aquinas lived in the 14th century. He was born in the 13th century, born in 1225 and died in 1251 or something. Or he lived to be about 51 years old. And he said, he wrote the Summa Theologica, which, you know, outlined the seven sacraments, and I mean, this huge volumes of work. I mean, this is the guy that what we know about the church today and the way the church functions, the theology and philosophy of the church, it all comes from him. There's some scatterings of Augustine, St. Bonaventure, these kinds of guys, but that's where all of this and what we believe and understand about God and the church and the world, a lot of it can be traced back to Thomas Aquinas. He's a Dominican priest. Thomas Aquinas said, you know, it's a lot easier to say what God is not than what God is. Okay, I get it. Then at the end of his life, he has a mystical experience. Still alive in his body, he comes face to face with God. And after that, he came back and he told his secretary and people around him, it is all straw. Burn it. Burn it all. And they were like, the old man's crazy, right? No, we ain't going to do that. Because it was said when it came out of that comment, that his works, everything he worked his life on, when he came face to face with God in that moment, he said, burn it all. It's straw. It's just straw. And then it was said, in this straw, the church will build its bed. Because we did. And many of us that grew up in the 50s or the 60s, And I always loved to have Elaine here because she was my Baltimore catechism person, right? That whole thing, you learned the law, you learned what it was, you put it all together. I can't figure out God. God is unfigure-outable. Because God is infinite and we are finite. We can think about it. We can look at it. Great minds have reflected on it. But like Randy standing on the shores of Lake Erie looking up and not understanding the distances in the universe. My friend Jerry called and he said, I'm looking through the telescope at the constellation Vega and I can see 20 galaxies. I'm like, dude, really? 20 galaxies? I mean, Milky Way, I can't get my head wrapped around that. But I can experience it because I can stand out on my porch at night and look at it and say, that is just an amazing friggin' thing. We will not be able to figure out God. But we can experience God. That's the interesting thing. People say, what's the basis for your faith? Explain to me in rational terms why you believe in this God. The best I could do is say, I met him. You know, I met him. I met him in the eyes of an addict. I met him in the eyes of a dying person in a hospital. I met him in the eyes of a friend who lost someone they loved. And I met him in the quiet of my own heart. I can't explain it, but I can experience it. And when you start to look at the scripture, from a contemplative, if you will, from an open perspective, you come upon things like the story of Abraham. Abraham leaving the Ur of the Chaldees, being called away to a new land. And God says, go to the land where I will show you. Now we can read that and say, oh, that's a historical thing that's cool about Abraham. But what is the scripture really saying? It's saying to us, you're going from the known to the unknown. Last week I talked about the active and the contemplative church. How many of us are in an active modality. And then we have these touches, these flashes, these quickenings of God. And as you begin to move is when you say, I would like to have more of this. Please, sir, may I have another? You know, let me. I just don't want to have these little quickenings. Then you're starting to move into this contemplative area where you can't explain it, and you didn't do anything and can't do anything to make it happen. The only thing you can do is get rid of the obstacles. Why can't we see the sky at night? Too much light pollution. Why can't we touch these moments of God on a regular basis? Too much noise pollution in our head. Bombarded with news, bombarded with thoughts, bombarded with life. And you see, God knows that. The beautiful thing about God, at least in my experience, is he meets each one of us where we are. Avoid the tyranny of the should. Well, I should know more about this, for gosh sakes, I'm 45, 55, 65, 75, 85 years old. I should know more about this. No, probably not. The tyranny of the should. I should get up and wash those dishes. But I'm going to sit here and watch Wheel of Fortune. Yeah. Create a space within you that leaves a path of least resistance for these touches of God to happen. Remove the noise pollution. Remove the thought pollution. I get all excited. I'm going to pray. I light my candle. I go in and I sit down. I get my scripture. I read four words and I'm thinking about something else. Scatter. I was distracted from my distraction by a distraction. No. It's okay. God comes to where you are and knows that. Absolutely knows that. And that's the gift. Just like I can't figure out the universe, I can't figure out, you know, what is the Spirit? The love of God in God is the Spirit. the knowledge of God in God. God's experience, I mean, it's all God all over the place. But I can't see it. Because my mind is not there. My heart is not there. It's busy, 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 busy. But it's divinity all over. In the first reading, we got this moment of creation. Each one of us had a moment of creation. God breathed out, and there was Steve Johnson. Breathed out, breathed out, breathed out. In just a minute, God's going to breathe back in. I came from God, and I'm going to pass into God. Why am I here? To learn to love. God breathed us out. God breathes us back in, and then we pass into the full knowledge of God. It's not a bad thing to try to figure out, think about it. It's okay. But know that ultimately it's not figure outable. May the Lord bless you on this Trinity Sunday. Keep you and open your heart always to those touches and moments of love. And may your heart grow to divine proportions where you can hope to abide, not just in those touches, but abide in that moment. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.